could come from heaven and be born of a virgin's womb? What king would die for all men's sin and be laid in a borrowed tomb? What man could rise up from the dead and ascend to heaven's throne? No one else could do what he has done. No one else could take this burden from me. No one else could melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on Calvary. No one else could do what he's done for me. Whose love could take a wicked heart and make it white as snow? Whose blood could take a ruined life and make it pure and whole? There is only one man who can set the sinner free. No one else could do what he's done for me. No one else could take this burden from me. No one else could melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on Calvary. No one else could do what he's done for me. No one else could take this burden from me. No one else could melt this heart of stone. It took Jesus and the blood he shed on Calvary. No one else could do what he's done for me. No one else could do what he's done for me.
Brother Bill, I appreciate that, and what a great blessing that is. Let's take the Word of God this morning. We will go to the book of Psalms chapter number 25. Psalm 25. We are into the first Sunday of the year, and our theme for this year is wait on the Lord. Now, I know what you may think. None of us like to wait. I mean, have you ever maybe had some important test by the doctor? You know what they tell you after you have the test? Just wait on the results. You can get anxious. I want to know the results. I want to know what is going to happen. I remember years ago when Mother's Day would come around. It was very common, especially in Knoxville, Tennessee, for to go out to eat on Mother's Day. I don't know if it's as common now. But I remember my dad and me and my two sisters, we would take my mom out to eat, and we would get to a restaurant, and you would find out how long you had to wait, you know? And man, you're hungry. And as a boy, man, I was starving, you know? But sometimes when we think of the word wait, we think of waiting patiently, maybe not patiently. We think of waiting almost as if it's wasted time. But when we talk about waiting on the Lord, waiting on God is not wasted time. What does it really mean to wait on the Lord? If that's our theme this year, in the Bible, throughout God's Word, we find that men and women waited on the Lord. Last Sunday, I talked about the promise of renewed strength, and we looked at the Bible says, "But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength." So if we are going to have renewed strength, we need to understand what it means to wait upon the Lord. We come to Psalm chapter 25, and this is a very important psalm. Psalm 25 speaks to us of our personal walk with God. We know this is a psalm that David penned under the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And I believe that this is written at the very end of David's life. So David knows what it means to wait on the Lord. David knows what it means to walk with God. Let's look in Psalm chapter 25, and let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 1. The Bible says, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not mine enemies triumph over me. Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed. Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. Remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. Remember not the sins of my youth, nor my transgressions. According to thy mercy, remember thou me for thy goodness' sake, O Lord. Good and upright is the Lord. Therefore will he teach sinners in the way. The meek will he guide in judgment, and the meek will he teach his way. All the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such as keep his covenant and his testimonies. For thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall he teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear him, and he will show them his covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O, bring thou me out of my distresses. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Consider mine enemies, for they are many, and they hate me with cruel hatred. O, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in thee. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on thee. Redeem Israel, God, out of all his troubles." We go back to verse number 3 where it says, "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed." This morning I want to preach to you the wonder of waiting on God. The wonder of waiting on God. Would you join me in prayer at this time? Our Father in heaven, Lord, I do not know what is on the hearts of your people today. I do not know the burdens that they may bear, but Lord, I'm sure there are burdens here. Lord, I do not know the disappointments that people may have, but you know them. And Lord, today as we come on this very first service of this year, I'm asking you to do what I could never do. I'm asking you to speak to hearts. I pray that you will guide me now as I preach. I pray you'll give me liberty and freedom. And Lord, I ask you to teach us to wait on thee. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now we find in our passage that David here, at the very end of David's life, David is saying, "I know what it is to wait on God." David is saying, "I know what it is to not know direction and to have to wait on God for direction." Now think about David's history, David's story. David as a shepherd boy who, you know what, David as a young boy learned to wait on God. David as a shepherd boy walked with God, and there on those hilltops when David watched over the sheep, you know what David did? He waited on God. He waited to hear the voice of the Lord. He waited to obey what God wanted him to do. He waited in the sense to know God. And I want us to understand today that waiting on the Lord is not that we are being passive in a sense. Not that we're waiting for the restaurant to give us a table or waiting for the BMV to allow us to come up to the window. It's not waiting on the test results. Waiting on God is looking unto Him. It is waiting for His guidance. It is waiting for His direction. It is learning God. It is waiting on the Lord. David learned to wait on God. But guess what? When David came to that giant Goliath, you know what? David waited on the Lord. David waited on God to guide him and to give him strength and God to direct his steps. When David was running from King Saul, you know what David had to do? Wait on the Lord. David had to wait on God's provision and God's protection. David learned to wait on the Lord. So what does it mean to wait on God? Number one, I want you to notice some very simple thoughts today. How do we wait on God? Number one, we wait on God in trust. Do you know that waiting on the Lord is really a matter of faith? It's a matter of trusting God. Go back to Psalm chapter 25, and I want you to see what David is saying here. We come to verse number 1, "Unto thee, O Lord, do I lift up my soul." David is saying, God, I lift my soul up. You see what's in my heart. You know what's going on, and I lift that up before you. I'm not hiding anything. And verse number 2, he says, "Oh my God, I trust in thee." Now, brethren, I want to ask you a question this morning. What are you trusting in today? Because what you're trusting in is what you're waiting on. Are you trusting in maybe a better life somehow? Is that what your trust is? Is that what your hope is? That one day I'll get to a financial place to where my life is going to be what I want it to be? Then our trust should never be in what we can provide for ourselves. Our trust should never be in what someone else can do for us. Our trust, if we're waiting on God, is waiting on the Lord. I'm trusting Him. I'm depending on Him because I know Him. I know His character. I know what God is like, and I'm trusting in Him. Do you believe this morning that God is trustworthy? You know why sometimes we don't trust the Lord? Because we don't think God's trustworthy. We think God will fail us in some way, but waiting on God is waiting on God in trust, in dependence, in faith. In fact, Proverbs 20, verse number 22 says this. Let me read it to you. "Say not thou, I will recompense evil, but wait on the Lord, and He shall save thee." You know what we want to do often? We want to fix things. We want to run ahead of God. We want to manipulate and control and scheme situations. That is human nature. But waiting on God is trusting the Lord. It's not getting ahead of God. In fact, I want you to remember this today. What God does in us while we are waiting on Him is as important, if not more important, than what we're waiting for. You may be waiting on God to deliver you from something. But while you are waiting, God is doing a work in your heart. Think about David, who wrote this psalm. David is running from King Saul. Why did God allow that? Because He wanted David to learn to wait on Him. Why did God not deliver David from King Saul immediately? Because David was going to learn to trust in God. You know what we want God to do for us? We want to pray and for God to answer that prayer immediately, but that's not faith. You know what real faith is and real trust in God is? It's that we're waiting on God's timing, we're waiting on God's direction, and we're waiting on God's will to be done. In fact, throughout this passage in Psalm chapter 25, I want you to read on as we read it. Verse number 2, once again, "Oh my God, I trust in Thee. Let me not be ashamed. Let not my enemies triumph over me." Look what he says in verse 3. "Yea, let none that wait on thee be ashamed." I think some people almost think that it's a shame to wait on God. And to wait on the Lord. But the psalmist goes on to say, let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. Have you ever gotten ahead of God before? I think all of us have. Have you ever run ahead of God? Meaning God was working and you were impatient and you got ahead of the Lord. You did not wait on God. And guess what? Let them be ashamed which transgress without cause. We read on in verse 4. Look what it says. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me thy paths. That's trust. Lord, I don't want my way. I want your way. Lord, I don't want my path. I want it to be your path. Look what it says in verse number 5. Lead me in thy truth. Not my truth, not what I think is true, but lead me in thy truth. And teach me, for thou art the God of my salvation. Look what it says. On thee do I wait all the day. David is waiting in trust. Listen, there is a difference between waiting in impatience and waiting in trust. Have you ever waited somewhere before and you're not happy about the waiting? Have you ever waited somewhere before and you're so upset, you're so angry because you're having to wait? That's not waiting on God in trust. Waiting on God is trusting Him. It is believing that He makes no mistakes. It is believing that His way, His path, His truth is what you want in life. Not your path, not your will. In fact, you see, often biblically, waiting is not just something we do until we get what we want. That's not it. Have you ever been waiting in traffic before? You're sitting maybe. If you've ever taken a long trip and maybe there's an accident and you're just waiting on the road and boy, you think this is wasted time. But brethren, you know something? God has a purpose even in all of that. Our waiting often is missed. We are missing what God wants to teach us in our waiting because we're not waiting on God in trust. In fact, when we wait on God, we're waiting on Him to work His way. Now, by the way, biblically, waiting on the Lord is not some passivity. It is not simply that we're not wanting to face reality. I've heard Christians say before, maybe some that were in terrible financial situations and because of their own financial habits and maybe because of their own choices and they just keep spending and they say, we're just waiting on God to meet our need. No, that's not waiting on the Lord. Waiting on God is saying, Lord, I'm waiting on you to show me what to do. And the moment I know what God wants me to do, I'm going to obey the Lord. That's waiting on God in trust. It is saying, God, you're the only one who can provide for me. You're the only one who can answer this prayer. You're the only one who can lead me. David waited on God in trust. In fact, waiting on the Lord is that continual daily decision that we from our hearts are saying to God, God, I will trust you. And I will obey you even when the circumstances of my life are not turning out the way that I want them to. I'm waiting on the Lord. I'm waiting on God. And by the way, waiting means that I trust God that He's doing what is best in my life. You see, really, when we're waiting on God, it's our attitude toward God. That God is trustworthy. That we can depend upon Him. We can rest upon the Lord. And David, that's what he is doing, is waiting on the Lord. Let's read on here. And I want you to look in verse number 6 of Psalm chapter 25. David says, remember, O Lord, thy tender mercies and thy loving kindnesses, for they have been ever of old. You know what David is saying here? In my waiting on God, I am going to remember His loving kindnesses. And in fact, David is bringing this before the Lord, not for God's sake, I believe for His sake. David is saying, God, I remember Your tender mercies because You've been merciful to me. And Lord, I remember Your loving kindnesses. And I bring that to my mind because I'm waiting on God in trust. I'm not waiting in doubt. I'm not waiting in despair. I'm waiting on God in trust. You're there in Psalm 25. Would you go to Psalm chapter number 37? I want you to see this. Psalm chapter number 37, this also is a psalm of David. And David here, he's waiting on God in trust, but notice what the psalmist says. Psalm chapter 37, and look in verse number 1. David says, "Fret not thyself because of evildoers, neither be thou envious against the workers of iniquity." By the way, have you ever fretted against workers of iniquity? Seems like the wicked are winning. It seems like people get away with their sin. David said, don't fret against that. Wait on God and trust. He goes on in verse 2, "For they shall soon be cut down like the grass and wither as the green herb. Trust in the Lord and do good. So shalt thou dwell in the land, and verily thou shalt be fed. Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. Fret not thyself because of him who prospereth in his way, because of the man who bringeth wicked devices to pass. Cease from anger and forsake wrath. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil, for evildoers shall be cut off. But those that wait upon the Lord, they shall inherit the earth." Did you know there's a promise for waiting upon the Lord? God says you'll inherit the earth. Now think about that just for a minute. What does that mean to inherit the earth? It means, in a sense, that our life, we are trusting in God. We're going to enjoy here on earth because we're waiting on God in trust. Stop trying to get what you want in your own strength. Sometimes I think many Christians, even Christians, live trying to scheme and manipulate and shame people into doing what they think they should be doing. I think some Christians get so frustrated that life is not working the way they think it should work, so they're going to take matters into their own hand. Folks, wait on the Lord. Trust in God. Fret not thyself in any wise to do evil. David here in this psalm, waiting on God in trust. And by the way, can I encourage you with something in this new year? Wait on God in trust. Brethren, do you know something? We are the creature. He is the creator. And God knows what He is doing. You can trust Him. You can rest upon Him. And folks, I am waiting on God. God is not just sitting somewhere passively. God is at work. And I want to know God's will, God's plan, God's way. And I'm waiting on God. We wait on God in trust. But number two, we wait on God in prayer. Now let's go back to Psalm chapter 25, if you would please. And I want you to see that we wait on God in prayer. Micah chapter 7 and verse 7 says this, "Therefore I will look unto the Lord, I will wait for the God of my salvation, my God will hear me." Now, brethren, let me tell you something about prayer. Prayer is the primary focus of waiting on God. You're not waiting on the Lord if you are prayerless. When we are prayerful, can I tell you what prayerfulness is? That's waiting on God. Lord, guide me this next step. Lord, bless my family, bless my church, and Lord, give me direction and guidance. That is waiting on God. It's not saying, I'm going to have my will done. It's waiting on God for His will to be done, His way to be accomplished. We wait on God in prayer. Let's go back to Psalm chapter 25. And I want you to notice some things here. Notice, remember what David says back in verse number 4. This is a prayer. This is a request. Show me thy ways, O Lord. Teach me. Notice what he says. Show me and teach me thy paths. Verse number 5. Lead me in thy truth and teach me. For thou art the God of my salvation. On thee do I wait all the day. I wonder, when's the last time you said to the Lord, God, show me? How did David do that? He did that in prayer. He said, Lord, teach me. Lord, lead me and teach me. David is praying and he's waiting on God in prayer. He's asking God to guide and to direct his path. By the way, waiting on God in prayer. We learn so much about God in prayer. By the way, do you know that waiting on God is that we're getting to know God? David was a man after God's own heart. We know that. But how could David be a man after God's own heart? Because David learned to wait on God in prayer. Brethren, if we think of 2025, it needs to be a year of prayer. You say, okay, I've got to pray. No, we pray because we're waiting on God. We pray because we're letting God lead us. We're letting God's will be done in our life. We're saying, God, show me. Lord, teach me. Guide me. It's a matter of prayer. It's not running ahead of God. It's waiting on God in prayer. Let's take our Bibles. And you're there in Psalms. Would you turn to the right in Isaiah chapter number 64? Now, I want you to see something that I think is very important. Folks, if we know the Lord and we trust Him, then we can trust His wisdom, we can trust His timing, and we can wait with confidence. Waiting on God. In fact, I believe the single most important activity for those of us who are waiting on God is to pray. You know, sometimes we think prayer is a last resort. Well, preacher, I can't do anything, but I can pray. No, the greatest ministry, the greatest work is a work of prayer. And by the way, often when we are prayerless, it is a sign that we're not waiting on God. We're not waiting on Him. We are just, okay, I'm going to get this done. I'm going to get this fixed. I'm going to push through. But that's not waiting on the Lord. We wait on God, not just in trust, but we wait on God in prayer. Isaiah, when we come to the book of Isaiah, I want you to understand something about chapter 64. The people to whom Isaiah is talking to are in trouble. They're in grave trouble. In fact, there's danger from the enemies, the Assyrians and the Babylonians. Now the danger that God is dealing with them about is not really the danger of this invading army. The danger is the temptation for them to run to Egypt, which is always a picture of the world, for help rather than running to the Lord. By the way, and I want you to listen to me very closely. When we do not run to God in prayer, it is a sign that we're not waiting on the Lord. Look what it says in Isaiah chapter 64 and verse number 1. And we want this, do we not? Listen to what it says. Oh, that thou wouldest rend the heavens, that thou wouldest come down, that the mountains might flow down at thy presence, as when the melting fire burneth, the fire causeth the waters to boil, to make thy name known to thine adversaries, that the nations may tremble at thy presence. When thou didst terrible things, which we looked not for, thou camest down. The mountains flowed down at thy presence. For since the beginning of the world, men have not heard, nor perceived by the ear. Neither hath the eye seen, O God, beside thee, what He hath prepared for them that waiteth for Him. Don't miss that right there. Here, Isaiah is saying, wait on God. Let Him rend the heavens. Let Him do the work. And he goes on and he kind of ends up this thought with, I hath not seen, nor ear hath heard. You don't even know what God would do if you would wait on Him. You're there in Isaiah chapter 64. Would you go back to Isaiah chapter number 31? Now this is the danger to the people here in Isaiah's day. Notice what he says in chapter 31 and verse number 1. The Bible says, woe to them that go down to Egypt for help and stay on horses and trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they look not unto the Holy One of Israel, neither seek the Lord. Do you know that there's a danger for each and every one of us that instead of waiting on God in trust and in prayer, that we go to the world and we try to find help? We go to the world and, oh listen, the world has such wisdom and the world has such knowledge, and we can turn to the world when we're weary of waiting on God. We're weary of trusting in the Lord. Let God provide. Let God guide. Let God take care of the situation in your life. We wait on God in prayer. In fact, we know the Lord Jesus Christ when He walked the face of the earth. I believe that Jesus was, the Bible says He was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. He faced every temptation. But can I tell you something? And in all the emotions that Christ faced, He was never worried. Worry is sin. Jesus was never, can I tell you, the very picture of Christ was that He was waiting on His Father. Now, was Jesus busy? Absolutely. Was Jesus teaching and leading and serving? Absolutely. He was not passive. But can I tell you, He said, I have come to do the will of my Father. Can I tell you, that is waiting on God. I've not come to do my own will. I've not come to do my own way. I am waiting on God in prayer. Brethren, I want you to remember this. The first act of waiting is prayer. In fact, before we make one move, before we make one decision, have we prayed? Have we sought God? Have we turned to the Lord in faith? I don't know about you, but have you ever made a decision before in life and you look back and you think, I didn't even pray about that. I didn't even turn to God. I didn't even ask guidance or direction from the Lord. And you know what? You made a bad decision because you didn't wait on God in prayer. Waiting on the Lord. We wait in trust. We wait in prayer. And number three, we wait on God in obedience. Now let's go back to Psalm chapter number 25 because I want you to see our passage here. Waiting on the Lord is really an act of obedience to God. We are obedient to Him. By the way, we have often think that biblical waiting is some passivity. We think that waiting on the Lord is just sitting there, endless waiting. It's wasted time. No, waiting on God is never wasted. There should never be any type of embarrassment about waiting on the Lord. You're trusting God. You're waiting on His guidance and direction. We'll go back to Psalm chapter number 25. Let's look in verse number 10. Notice what the Bible says. It says, all the paths of the Lord are mercy and truth unto such, look at this, as keep His covenant and His testimonies. David's keeping God's covenant testimonies. Verse number 11, for Thy name's sake, O Lord, pardon mine iniquity, for it is great. What man is he that feareth the Lord? Him shall He teach in the way that he shall choose. His soul shall dwell at ease, and his seed shall inherit the earth. The secret of the Lord is with them that fear Him, and He will show them His covenant. Mine eyes are ever toward the Lord, for He shall pluck my feet out of the net. Turn Thee unto me, and have mercy upon me, for I am desolate and afflicted. The troubles of my heart are enlarged. O bring Thou me out of my distresses. David goes on to say, look upon mine affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins. Can I tell you what David was doing while he was waiting? He was waiting in obedience. By the way, we don't wait on God when we stay out of church. That's not waiting on the Lord. We don't wait on God by neglecting His Word or neglecting prayer. We don't wait on God by having the wrong kind of spirit. We wait on God in obedience to the Lord. We keep His covenant. We keep His testimonies. David goes on to say in verse number 20, he says, oh, keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in Thee. Look what he says in verse 21. Let integrity and uprightness preserve me, for I wait on Thee. waiting on God is a spiritual discipline. In fact, it's a discipline that I'm going to obey the Lord. I'm not going to sit somewhere. I am going to wait on God in trust, in prayer, and obedience. You know what we think waiting is? Well, I'm not going to do anything, and I'm just waiting. No. We wait on God in obedience. We wait on God as we're trusting Him to provide whatever it is that we need, whatever direction that we need, what help that we need. We're waiting on God in obedience. Now, in closing, can I tell you what waiting on God brings to us? First, waiting on God brings deliverance. You know what I find with David here in Psalm 25? God delivered him. Did God deliver David from the mouth of the lion? Yes. Did God deliver David from the bear? Remember, he talked about that when he took care of the sheep and a lion came out and a bear came out. David waited on God. That didn't mean that David stayed there. No, David, he obeyed, but he trusted in God's character. And God delivered him. Brethren, waiting on God always brings deliverance. But let me say this to you. When we don't wait on God, it brings bondage. It really does. In fact, I think we may be discouraged and think this. We have nothing, Pastor, but problems. And we don't have answers. And what are we going to do? What is going to happen? And if we are not careful, we will take matters into our own hands and we will live the Christian life by force rather than by faith, and we don't wait on God. Brethren, when we wait on God, can I tell you what He brings? He brings deliverance to you and me. By the way, it's His work. It's not our work. And we wait on God, He brings deliverance. But let me tell you something else that waiting on God brings. It brings strength. It really does. I'm not talking about physical strength. I'm talking about the inner strength. Isaiah chapter 40 and verse 31. But they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. Now, scientists tell us that after eagles get to a certain age, their feathers are, in a sense, wore out. And you know the feathers of an eagle. I mean, the wingspan of an eagle is amazing. I mean, how far the wings can go. But after many years, an eagle's feathers are almost tattered and torn. And you know what? They're almost worn out. Scientists tell us that eagles will often go into a certain cleft, a rock, or a, you know, some place where they can hide, and they will pluck out all of their feathers. Can you imagine what it would look like? But in return, new feathers will grow, renewing that eagle. That's what I believe Isaiah 40 verse 31 is telling us. But they that wait upon the Lord. Brethren, do you know we wait on God in prayer? We wait on God in saying, God, teach me. Lord, show me my sin. Lord, deal with me about the things of my life that need to be plucked away. Lord, deal with me about the wrong thoughts that I've had. Lord, deal with me and Lord, renew my strength. I'll tell you, when we wait on God and we come before Him and we say, God, I lift up my soul unto Thee. Teach me, Lord. Guide me, Lord. Show me Thy way. Teach me about who You are. That brings strength. I wonder how many times we've run ahead of God and we've fallen right on our faces. When we discovered that we're not as strong or as wise as we thought we were. But when we wait on God, it brings strength. But can I tell you, thirdly, waiting on God brings endurance. Many people start, but few ever finish. In fact, there are many people, I think our country is cursed with people who started out for God, but they did not finish. How many times does someone come to know Christ as their Savior and they begin to live for God, but then guess what? The burden, I mean, then they begin to have trouble. They begin to have some battles. And you know what they do? They quit. They stop going to church. They stop following Jesus Christ. Folks, in a sense, Think of what kind of country, what kind of churches we could have today if people would endure and keep their eyes on Jesus Christ and not quit. Do you imagine in this church alone? I want you to think about this just for a moment. Can you imagine this church alone? I mean, this church is close to being 70 years in existence. Can you imagine all the people that have come to know Christ as their Savior, who if they had continued following Christ, we'd have to build 3 new buildings. Why? Because it's easy to get started, but the endurance, and I will say this to you, the longer that I'm alive and the longer as a Christian, the ideal of enduring, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. What does it say? They shall run and not be weary. Weariness is possible for each and every one of us, but not if we wait on God. And then the last one, waiting on God brings direction. Oh, David knew what this was. In fact, we understand that Proverbs chapter 3 and verse number 5, the Bible says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. That's waiting on God. And what does it say? And He shall direct thy paths. You know, God directs our path when we wait on Him. In closing, let's go to Lamentations chapter number 3. Go to the right in your Bible. You'll come to Jeremiah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations chapter number 3. Brethren, as we begin this new year, can I encourage you as your pastor, wait on the Lord. You say, Pastor, how do I wait? You trust Him. You take Him at His word. You believe what He said to be true. You know His promises and you're trusting in God's word and God's promises. But you wait on God in prayer. Oh, so often we get ahead of the Lord. We get off track because we don't pray. We don't seek the Lord in prayer. And then we wait on God in obedience. What has God told you to do that you're not doing today? Where you are failing to obey, begin to obey today. Let's look in Lamentations chapter number 3. And let's begin, if you would please, in verse number 21. Lamentations chapter 3 and verse 21. The prophet says this, "This I recall to my mind, therefore have I hope. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because His compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him. The Lord is good unto them that wait for Him, to the soul that seeketh Him. It is good that a man should both hope and quietly wait for the salvation of the Lord." Brethren, you know what God has called us to? He's called us to wait on Him. The Lord is good to them that wait for Him. Brethren, I think all of us want the blessings of the Lord, but we don't want to wait for them. And today, maybe you're here this morning and you're running ahead of God. You're so busy. You have no time for the Lord. You're not waiting for the Lord. And today, you need to come and say, God, this year, I want to sit before You and wait on You. You remember the story of Mary and Martha? Jesus was coming to their house. You know the story. Can you imagine what it was like for Jesus to show up? Boy, they wanted everything to be perfect, did they not? Everything to be clean, everything to be right in its place, because Jesus, God Himself, is coming to our house. What would you think today if Jesus was coming over after the morning service? You might slip out during the prayer time and go home and throw some things under the bed or close off some doors and say, Jesus, you can't come in this door, all right? We understand. But when Mary and Martha, oh, listen, Martha, you know Martha? She was cumbered about with much serving. But when Jesus showed up on the scene, guess what Mary did? She sat at His feet. And she listened to Jesus. She learned from Him. And you remember, Martha got kind of upset, didn't she? She said, Lord, carest thou not that I'm busy and serving and Mary, she's left me alone. I don't believe Mary was passive. I believe that before when Jesus showed up, Mary was just as busy as Martha in preparation. But when Jesus came, Mary, the Bible says, chose the good part. You know what the good part was? To sit and wait on Jesus. Today, I want to be a person who waits on the Lord in trust, in prayer, and obedience. Let's bow our heads in prayer this morning.